Please be seated. One of the marks of outstanding leaders is the demands that they make on their followers. History gives us at least a couple of examples. In the mid-1800s, Giuseppe Garibaldi called his men to his banner in the struggle for Italian unity by promising not glory or ease, but hunger and death. Nearly a century later, Winston Churchill steeled the people of Great Britain for the fight against Nazi tyranny by declaring that he had nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat. Both men spoke with uncompromising honesty. Their words galvanized movements that changed history, but no one could accuse them of hiding the cost. In today's gospel, Jesus speaks with an even sharper edge. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. On first hearing, these words land like a thunderclap. Did Jesus, who taught us to love even our enemies, now call us to hate our families? Was he contradicting his own commandment to love? The short answer is no. What he was doing was telling the truth. Just as other leaders have spoken the truth about their causes, Jesus told the truth about his kingdom. He was not offering an easy way. Rather, he is illustrating the hard and narrow way by issuing the most demanding call ever given: to reorder all loves and loyalties under the supreme love of God. It was St. John Chrysostom who wrote, "He did not literally command hatred, but showed in strong terms that our devotion to him must be greater than any earthly bond." Jesus was saying, if you want to follow me, nothing, no relationship, no possession, not even life itself can take precedence over me. This is the job description of every disciple. The compensation, eternal life. The cost, everything. When Jesus takes first place in our lives, our relationships, worship, ministry, work, even possessions become aligned with the will of God and become to the service of his kingdom. Jesus, always the teacher, then slips in two brief parables: a builder counting whether he can complete a tower, and a king considering whether he can win a war. Both images stress deliberate calculation, evaluation, and ultimately, because the numbers don't tell everything, discernment. Discipleship cannot be a whim or an impulse. It must be considered, weighed, and chosen with eyes wide open. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. It was Dietrich Bonhoeffer, himself a martyr of the faith, who once wrote, "When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die." While his words are a stark dose of reality, this is not a call to an abyss of despair. It is, however, a call to purpose. To count the cost is not to be paralyzed by fear, but to recognize the seriousness of the journey and the worth of the goal. C.S. Lewis put it this way: he who has God and everything else doesn't have anything more than he who has God alone. Jesus, of course, refuses to use what we might call the soft sell. He does not entice us with all the benefits first and only later reveal to us the true cost. Instead, very Jesus-like, he flips things upside down by laying out the price at the very beginning. And in doing so, he changes how we are to look at the world, and he dignifies us as people capable of making a deliberate and mature choice. From the prophet Jeremiah, we learn that part of the cost, part of the choice, is surrender. God sends Jeremiah to the potter's house where he sees a vessel once spoiled, but on the wheel, being reshaped by the potter's hand. Like the clay in the potter's hand, so you are in my hand, O house of Israel. But the interesting thing is the clay does not dictate its final shape to the potter. Rather, it yields, it becomes pliable, and it becomes fashioned according to the potter's design. And so it is with us. To be a disciple is to allow God to reform us, reform our lives. Sometimes this entails breaking down what is cracked or broken and reshaping us into something completely new. St. Augustine said, "We are the clay, but not inert clay. We are clay that resists or yields. But if we yield, the potter fashions us into vessels of honor." The cost of discipleship is not merely surrender for its own sake. It is yielding to God's artistry. We surrender not into chaos, but into the hands of God who shapes us for his kingdom. When a sculptor works with marble, he must chip away many pieces, large and small, to bring forth what is hidden within. From the stone's perspective, this is destructive. But from the sculptor's point of view, it is necessary in order to reveal the beauty within. And so it is with us. God reshapes us in ways that may feel like losses, but they are in fact strokes of divine artistry. Our psalm today, Psalm 139, is one of my absolute favorites, and it assures us that this yielding is not surrendering ourselves to a stranger. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God, who demands all from us, is the one who already knows us fully, who fashioned us with intention, who holds us in love. To entrust everything to God is not reckless. It is our returning to the Father who made us, who knows us, who loves us, and who is closer to us than we are to ourselves. In her writings, St. Catherine of Siena asked God why he had created humanity to possess such great dignity. And her answer is, it's through the boundless love with which he looks on his own creation. The potter who shapes us is the creator who already knows our innermost being. And here we find great comfort. God, who asks us for everything, has already given us everything in Christ. St. Paul's brief letter to Philemon gives us a living example of costly discipleship at work. He writes on behalf of Onesimus, a runaway slave who has become a Christian. Paul makes his appeal saying, "Perhaps this is why he was parted from you for a while, that you may have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother." Paul doesn't issue a command. Instead, he appeals to Philemon's love, and the implication is profound. Accepting Onesimus as a brother in Christ would upend the social order. It would challenge Philemon's household, his reputation, even his livelihood. Like Jesus, Paul is changing the accepted way of doing things. And this is the cost of discipleship in real life. All of our relationships are to be defined by Christ. Distinctions like the owner-slave relationship that Philemon has with Onesimus are changed dramatically. Through Christ and in Christ, both men become brothers. And the world is reshaped into the reality of the kingdom. There's a quote from Chesterton that regularly makes the rounds on social media, but it illustrates the point. The Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left untried. Philemon was being asked to live out the difficult, to reorder his world according to Christ. And as you might guess, so are we. Imagine if you are an employer and you're being asked to take on not just an employee, but a former rival or someone who betrayed you or even a thief and treat them like family. That is the kind of radical, and if you know me, I don't use the word radical very often. It is the kind of radical forgiveness and reorientation that Christ demands. It is costly. It might damage the bottom line, but it is the gospel at work. So how do we hear all this today? For the most part, following Christ will not mean martyrdom like Peter, Paul, or the other apostles. But it will mean surrendering our lesser loves. It will mean choosing integrity over career advancement, generosity over security, and reconciliation over resentment. Like Philemon, it will require us to rethink our relationships in the light of Christ, seeing people not through the usual categories of status, wealth, or the worst one, their usefulness to us, but as brothers and sisters in Christ. Like Jeremiah's clay, we must allow God to break down parts of us we thought secure, to refashion us into vessels of mercy. With the psalmist, we are to remember that our God who calls us already knows us completely. And we are to put our trust in his love even when our own strength falters. There are those who risk their own comfort, even their lives, for Christ. The missionary who leaves home and family to bring the gospel to somewhere far away. Or Christian doctors who serve the least and lost in deprived conditions. Or the parent who faithfully prays and raises children in the faith despite the smothering weight of popular culture. Each choice carries a cost, but each becomes a testimony to Christ's love. St. Francis of Assisi stripped himself of wealth and privilege to follow Christ in poverty. St. Teresa of Calcutta poured out her life in service to the dying in the streets. Yet most disciples are simple, ordinary Christians who live through the changes and chances of this life. Parents who sacrifice to raise children in the faith. Workers who refuse dishonest practices, though it costs them advancement. And believers who risk rejection and isolation to witness to Christ in a hostile world. Everywhere the pattern is the same. Renunciation for the sake of love. Surrender for the sake of Christ. loss that becomes gain. Bishop N.T. Wright suggested that Jesus' stark language makes sense when we see it as part of a rescue mission. If a ship were sinking and a crew were dispatched to rescue us, would we quibble about the comforts or cling to possessions? No, we would throw everything aside to save lives. The kingdom of God is that great rescue. To follow Christ is to enlist in his mission to save the world. The cost is steep, but the cause is greater. We are his volunteers, rushing in alongside him to save others. Everything else is put aside because saving lives is more important. That urgency is what Jesus calls us to embrace for the sake of his kingdom. At the heart of all of this is the paradox of the cross. Jesus says, "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." The cross was the instrument of Roman execution, and it meant one thing and one thing only: death. Yet for Jesus, the cross became the means of life for the world. So it is with us. To lose our lives for his sake is to find them. To surrender all is to gain all. Today we are faced again with a call from Jesus. He does not sugarcoat it. He does not promise ease or comfort. Instead, he promises himself. The cost of discipleship is everything. The gift of discipleship is God himself. Jesus said, "So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." So, we are the clay. Will we yield to the potter? We are known and loved. Will we trust the Father who made us? We are called to reorder our relationships in Christ. Will we accept the cost? Let us hear the call of Christ, not as a burden, but as an invitation to place all that we are in the hands of Christ. Christ who made us, who knows us, who died for us, and who will never let us go. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.